The Port Game Day podcast is a weekly preview of Port Adelaide's AFL action. Make us part of your game day routine and tune in as you get ready to cheer on the power.
Back to the Port Game Day podcast. There's a change in the host chair this week. Friendly Andrew is in the host chair, replacing John, who is otherwise engaged. And joining me this evening, as usual, he's a shadowy figure from the Adelaide hip-hop scene. I have vague memories of him winning KFC's Kicking for Chicken. It's Jim. Jim, how's things?
Yeah, good, mate. Yeah, fantastic, actually. Coming off a win. It's great talking about Port Adelaide, so it's just good to be with all the campaigners out there.
It is good. It's good. I took the week off just to refresh the mind, body and soul. And, it's good to be back chatting Port with you. So getting into it, we're coming off a pretty comprehensive win against the Dockers on Sunday twilight. It was really over within the first couple of minutes, really. The Crows are flying back from Melbourne. They're our opponents for this week in the big showdown. They knocked off the Hawks for the first time in a long while and have also moved to 2-0. So it is one of the bigger showdowns of the 42. In terms of the ins and outs, Jack Homsch has come out of the Port side with a medial ligament injury in his knee, and Hamish Harlett has returned to the side after having a dodgy curry last week and not quite making it out for the full game. The Crows have made one change. Josh Jenkins has been taken off life support and is okay, but not well enough to play. And the in is Jake Lever, who comes in under a bit of a cloud of scrutiny, potentially thinking about moving on. He's put off his contract talks at the Crows this week, but they're obviously quite experienced with dealing with such matters. So interesting selections. Neither club go like for like. We go a tall defender out and bring, I guess, a small defender or medium defender in. The Crows lose well, let's call him a key forward, be generous. And they bring Jake Lever, who's sort of, I mean, he's predominantly played in the back lines. What do you think of those moves, Jim?
Yeah, there's been a bit of discussion on who's the bigger loss, Joshy Jenkins and Jackie Boy Homsch. But yeah, I'd say it's probably going to hurt us a little more just because Jack's one of our best defenders. You know, he's our best third man up. He creates a lot of, havoc down there when the ball hits the ground. He's very clean. And in a Josh Jenkins, I guess they're losing a Joe the Goose out the back. So I don't know how they're going to replace that. But look, the ins in particular, Hamish Hartlett, yeah, I think he performed really well against Sydney and it was just a disappointing for him not to get up against Freo coming out with that sickness. But if he continues the form he bring against Sydney, I think we can cover the loss of Jack Homsch, potentially swinging Jackson Trengo back down there and then shuffling around a few other players. But I think this week in particular, with the Crows' potent forward line, we're going to need someone else to step into that role. And I'm thinking maybe a Tom Jonas potentially could play off a bit more and fill in that role.
Yeah, the Trengove one will be really interesting. Obviously, we trained with him all season in the forward lines, and then by round two, we needed him to go back on game day. And I thought he was absolutely dominant against Fremantle. Really didn't give, I think it was Griffin, a sniff at all. Really, really strong performance, like all of the back lines, all of the backline players. So I agree that we lose a little bit with Homsche coming out, but I think with Jenkins going out as well, there's sort of similar departures in the same area of the field. So I think both teams will feel relatively comfortable about that. Then just how you shuffle things around. I mean, Jake Lever, as I said in the intro, has played mostly back and sort of pretty loose back. I mean, I'll be interested to see whether they try to use him in a forward role to keep those sort of quasi four taller blokes in the forward lines, or whether they do roll him back and try and clog up our defence and play in that sort of pretty traditional Crows way, which is running the ball off the half back line and really chopping it out from there.
You're right, and the Crows are really one of the best teams as far as their intercept possessions this season and creating scoring shots from those intercepts. But we've got our own intercept king in Matty Broadbent, which I think's recorded 11 intercept marks in the last two games. So he started to perform after a pretty slow pre-season, and he's actually creating a lot of scoring opportunities off the half-back line with his intercept marking. So with the omission of Jack Homsch, I feel like he's going to have to step up and play off his man a bit and really get the ball driving off that half-back line.
Yeah, interesting. I thought Brody was pretty rusty in the Sydney game. I think the lack of a pre-season hit-out sort of did impact him maybe in the early stages. He just didn't seem to have the pace, but I think he really settled back into the game against Fremantle. I mean, it wasn't hard. There really wasn't that much heat on. The ball wasn't really getting down there too much, and Fremantle seemingly spent most of the game kicking it back to us. So the couple of runs would do him good, because he definitely will be up against it with multiple leading options for the Crows to cut off. One of the other stories, I guess, from the selections, which is an easy one to sort of overlook, I guess, is there was a fair bit of discussion last week around Brett Eddie dropping out of the team for Jarman Impey. In the end, he comes back in. He spent seemingly every single time he got the ball inside 50, he was having a ping at goals. There wasn't a shot he didn't like, but he's done enough to stay in the team. So he's shaken off that presumed dropping and gets another run out. How did you think he performed, and what do you think that looks like against the Crows?
Yeah, I think he performed. He played his role, which is all you can ask. And to get a couple of goals was good reward for some good play. And he was involved in a lot of forward line link up play as well. So yeah, Brett Eddie, absolute. Must keep his spot, and he has earned his spot this week, so it's good to see him in some form after what was pretty, I guess a lot of people question his first game, but I guess playing on the Adelaide Oval is a different story, and he was able to get a couple of goals, but it gives us that luxury of swinging Trangove back in the defence, which we saw against Frio. So having Brett Eddie come in, providing that second option, which frees up Dixon a bit, and then can free up Trangove to play the forward or back. So I think he's an absolute must-play player at this point of the year. So if he can create some opportunities, we'll be laughing.
Yeah, he's sort of slowly coming to pace. I was a little bit disappointed we actually did go through the process of dropping him last week. More so because with these mature age players, they don't need the game time in the AFL to necessarily develop their skills, but they needed to get to it to understand the pace of the game. And I thought that's what he's really struggled with, even in parts of the Fremantle game, particularly when the ball hit the ground around him. I think he found it really hard he just had players on top of him straight away. And he hasn't really found that space, particularly that he found up at his former home ground at Hickenbotham against Noarlunga. Like, he was just exploiting the space. He hasn't really found that yet in the minor rounds. And I think that's really the challenge for him now, is he's getting opportunities, sort of kick lead, kick mark sort of stuff, but he's not necessarily getting the ground ball that I think he's absolutely capable of doing. So there's definitely some scope for improvement in there, and he will only get that by actually playing in the team. So pleased to see that he sticks around.
But again, that frees up Dixon when he's in the team, and it's exactly what we were looking for last year with the Schultz type of combination with Dixon. So I think with him in the team, Dixon's been able to actually get off the chain, have some confidence. He's getting his hands on the ball and converting his opportunities. So Brett Eddy's a key point in that forward line.
Then the other thing to look out for is I reckon there's a part where forwards like Eddy know how they light the ball and they know how to kick it to the next forward, and he's already lined up Dixon at least two times I can remember in the Fremantle game, and I'm sure he did it a couple of times against Sydney. So he's a really nice user and link up player as well. So there's definitely something there with him, and I hope we just keep assisting with it. The other selection, or non-selection issue, just on the other side of the fence was for the Crows was their second ruck. Jacobs has obviously been doing a power of work, but Josh Jenkins not coming up means that they sort of lose that second option. And last week they went with Andy Ottens as the second ruck, and I think they went with Sloan at one point in the center square for a ruck. They haven't replaced Jenkins in the ruck. They haven't brought a second ruck in, so I imagine that they'll will be planning for Ottens and some. Maybe the ghost of Trent Ormond-Allen to come off and ruck for the Crows, second ruck at least.
Yeah, I think that's an area we've got to absolutely exploit when he's in the ruck. He stands 6'4". Now, if he's going up against a Westhoff or a Dixon, who, you know, 6'6", 6'8", respectively, that's an advantage for us. And even if it's only 20% of the game time, if it's Trengove even jumping through there, we've really got to take advantage of that and try and get some lace-out ball to our midfielders. But our second efforts in the ruck have been fantastic, and we saw what Ryder did against Sanderlands. I'm just hoping he can replicate that against Jacobs this week.
Yeah, absolutely. That was part of the reason I brought it up, is to big us up in that regard. You just don't in that second ruck really could potentially cause them some issues. But we'll maybe even explore that a little bit later in the chat around the midfield. So, moving on to a little bit of the matchups as we see them play out. Maybe if we start in the Crows forward line, as we said, Jenkins has come out. So they've, I guess, in the past they've sort of played three or four guys that play toll in Walker, McGovern, Lynch, and Jenkins. We're assuming that there's only going to be the three of them: Walker, McGovern, and Lynch. Walker's been rusty; he's only come back and played one game so far this year. McGovern's probably been the standout. He's really developing quite nicely for them. An athletic, rangy, good in the air, but equally as good when the ball hits the deck. And then Lynch continues to be a pretty consistent contributor, a bit of a link-up player, but has given us problems in the past. What are you reckoning with your matchups? What do you like there?
Yeah, I mean it's tough this week because we are definitely undersized unless we throw a Trengo back there. And you know, just looking at the team as it's named, I'd expect, say, a Jonas to go to a Walker and maybe a Cleary go to old mate.
McGovern?
Yeah, I was either thinking McGovern. Whoever gets off the leash, basically, I think Jonas is in a position now where he can be thrown on the danger player, and there's obviously Lynch to worry about as well. So, you know, where the three talls in particular, we're going to have to try and shuffle around our players to get the right matchups. But again, we're not getting exposed in one-on-ones, which has been important for the defence. And we've been able to, you know, play a team defence and you know, get that third man up and then have numbers around the ball when it hits the ground. So the less one-on-ones we can prevent, the better. But I think Tommy Jonas is going to be the important one this week, and we're just going to have to see how it all pans out.
Yeah, Carl, I agree mostly with the matchups that you suggested there, and I completely agree. I mean, the thing that maybe that we miss with Homsch more than his ability to one-on-one defend is to be that two-on-one, and we don't really have an obvious player that can do that at his height and his ability, but I definitely think Jonas will take Walker. I think I saw someone on on the Wonderful Big Footy, you point out that Tom Jonas is almost playing bigger than he used to now. In the good old Tom Jonas days, he used to be able to go down to an Eddie Betts, whereas I just don't think he's got the lateral quickness anymore. He's just come off a little bit, but he's a bigger body, and I reckon he'd be perfect for Walker. I reckon Cleary has the capacity to go with McGovern, and that leaves. I had Broadbent down initially, but when you were talking through Broadbent's intercept marking, he may not really be the one to go with Lynch. I'm not sure whether it's a Houston or maybe even a Harlot, but I'm not even sure he's got the running capacity to go up with Lynch, because Lynch is really the link player, and you want someone on his hammer. You don't want him drifting and doing what he likes. So one of those guys. And Lynch isn't a huge guy. I think he's only 192, 193, and Broadbent's not much shorter than that. So, there's – I don't think we're as outsized as we were last week. But equally, I don't think there's a matchup for Trengove as obvious as there was last week. I think Griffin was a really clear – an obvious one, but it just doesn't seem to be one this week for him. So,
Yeah, the two danger players, McGovern in particular, recorded 22 score involvements so far this season, which is equal first in the comp, and had 22 score involvements. So, you know, he's in good form. Tom Lynch had 31 disposals, 14 marks, and 8 score involvements with 1 goal last week. So they're the informed forwards. We really need someone to run with him, Tom Lynch. So maybe a Cleary could potentially, with his engine and tank, go with a Lynch. But they're the ones to worry. I think Walker, you know, if he gets off the leash and starts getting up, he's a real barometer, a player that could potentially, you know, lift the team. He's their captain, so we got to play it by ear and hope we can nullify and play it as well as possible.
Yeah. Now and probably just as damaging is the small forward fleet that they've got, but particularly I guess the big name Eddie Betts and his protege Charlie Cameron. I mean, I'm really keen on seeing Darcy Byrne-Jones get the job on Betts. I thought he played an incredible game on what is effectively a poor man's Eddie Betts in mm-hmm. Michael Walters last week. I thought he was just stellar, really followed him around. And what I loved was when Walters got a real cheap free kick in the last quarter and hadn't kicked a goal, and Darcy Byrne-Jones was stomping around, kicking the dirt. I mean, you could really see that he'd set himself to keep him scoreless. And if he can't keep Betts scoreless but keeps him to maybe sort of one or two, then I think we're on the way to a victory. So he's my number one choice for that, and I really do think we'll go in that direction on Betts.
Yeah, look, I agree. Sorry, just touching on Betts. I heard an interview with Wingard this week, and he was really talking up Impey as a lockdown small defender. I think, obviously, DBJ is going to get the first shot at Betts. If he does get off the leash, we may throw Impey down there. And we've got some, obviously, potent forwards that could potentially replace Impey. So he is an option as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, Impey's the man I was going to talk to next in terms of a matchup for Charlie Cameron. Cameron, I think, whilst I haven't sat down and put myself through the pain of watching any significant amount of Adelaide Crows football this year, what I have seen is Charlie Cameron, particularly running off the back of the square at half back almost and running through and providing run through the midfield. And that's where I thought Impey was a really nice matchup for him, because Impey can play in his traditional high forward, half forward wing role, but keep an eye on Cameron and really go with him at every step of the way and not just let him dictate where he runs and what he does with it. So, yeah, I think he's certainly an option, Impey, to drop back onto Betts. But my first option would be to use him to try and chop Cameron down, because he has had some influence. Is there anyone else in the Crows forward half that you thought was particularly interesting, or do you think we've covered off the danger men?
Yeah, I think Cameron is a definite X factor for them, and you're right, he is a matchup we've got to worry about as well. They've got those smalls as well as their tools, so it is an interesting matchups. There's some interesting matchups all over the ground. So
we moved down to where all the fun happens, the Port Adelaide forward line. So we've got Dixon, Trengove and Westhoff listed in the forward lines with Brett Eddy on the bench. Dixon obviously is in probably played his best game for the club last week, to be honest. Converted beautifully. His hands were sensational. Really just starting to show the benefit of actually having a functional team around him, but also a little bit of confidence as well. Trengove obviously played back last week and I think probably plays forward this week. And then Brett Eddy rounds off the third toll. I mean, Talia, I think, is a traditional Westhoff matchup, but we'll get to Westhoff later. But I think if Westhoff isn't playing a forward role, then Talia probably takes Dixon with Hardigan on Trengove. And then that would leave someone like a Lever to roll onto Eddy.
Yeah, the thing we've been good at this year is our kicking to one-on-ones. We've been able to get a lot of marks inside 50 as well, which is a result of us winning a lot of contested footy, which has been very promising. Dixon's been a benefit of some good midfield play, having an extra four to take some attention off him. But we've just been our skills going inside forward 50 have been a big step up from last year. So he's finally getting some good delivery, and he's been clunking them, which is exactly what we've been looking for from a Dixon. We've been critical about his hands in the past, but so far this year he's provided a lot of good options up forward and converted his opportunities. So if we can continue to win that contested footy back in our skills, I think Dixon's in for a big game. He needs to turn it on. It's the type of game where he could potentially really shine if we start winning the midfield. It's all about winning the midfield, and he's just converted his opportunities. I think he's starting to feel a bit more comfortable around those other forwards. He knows the ground now and knows where to kick. So, yeah, look for him to hopefully have a big game. He's real important for our forwards. So, yeah, I have big expectations for Dixon after seeing what he produced last week.
Yeah, there's been a real difference in the way that we've kicked the ball into the forward lines this year. And it hasn't necessarily always been lace out on the chest, but we've definitely focused on not kicking the ball with as much air under it. The ball has been going in just a little bit more directly. Enough time for someone like Dixon to move to where the ball's going, but not enough time for a real pack to develop. I've found it really quite noticeable. Mm. And that's combined with some much better play going inside 50 as well. That's not to say that we haven't improved in that, but it's been really noticeable that bomb ball has now almost gone out of our game. Mm. And that's, I think that's just a complete positive for him. So I agree that if we can get some ball in, it'll be challenging because the Crows love to, their defence loves to zone off, loves to kill contests and do all that sort of business. So it'll be a challenge for our forwards to make sure that they can get free and that our mids are spotting them up.
Yeah, for sure. And the Crows are a real good team of not allowing that re-entry, especially off kick-ins when they kick it in. They're really good at actually getting that ball out and not getting that re-entry, so they don't get scored against off kick-ins very often. But talking about the foot skills entering in inside 50, you know, I noticed Brad Ebert has improved in that area. Ollie, yep. Wines for sure, and Polak's always been good as well. So having those three bringing the ball inside with improved foot skills has really helped us this year.
One player I wanted to talk about was Justin Westhoff, who I had thought was well down on his form. However, I reckon it's possibly now that I've been observing his form in a slightly different manner, because he certainly certainly had some nice things written about him on Big Footy, particularly recently, about his role of being sort of a almost like a deterrent, where he's just sort of dropping back, plugging up a hole in the in the back line on the wing and not and sort of stopping teams from playing. How have you seen his start to the season?
Yeah, I mean, I was a bit critical of his game against Sydney, but he definitely bounced back with a pretty good game against Freo. But, you know, we really need him to step up now and have a big game against Adelaide because he does have that X factor and he's had some history against the Crows where he's really performed well. So hopefully he can produce another good effort against the Crows. But yeah, the Freo game was probably his better game. You know, we saw some signs against Sydney that were a bit worrying, but having the luxury of throwing him down back, providing, you know, a link up along the wing and then obviously being an option up forward as well, those type of players are real valuable. And he's got experience. He's obviously played a lot of games for the club. He's not been the most consistent performer, but he's performed well in showdown, so hopefully he can bring it this week.
Yeah, I'll certainly be keeping a closer eye on him and trying to just exactly understand what he's doing without the ball. I guess what I'm just looking for is I think his ability with the ball, or at least to find the ball and be a link-up target, if he is playing on that half-back wing, sort of blocking up a role, I think it's incumbent on us to actually trying to start use his aerial prowess to link up through. Mm. So I think, look, I'll go a little bit easier on him, but he's just got that. He's got that ability to really cause the Crows some issues, which I think he has done in the past in showdowns. And it's always fun to see the opposition supporters go nuts as he drifts around and rips them apart. I think where we had a real ascendancy against Fremantle was in the small forward area where Robbie Gray just ripped off a 30-6 like it was no big deal. Just a phenomenal performance where it just looked like every time he touched the ball, something amazing was going to happen for Port Adelaide. I can imagine that we just we keep him in that same role. Again, it sort of came out during the week that he had been dealing with some groin soreness over the off season, and he started to get on top of that. I mean, he did look restricted against Sydney and he still looked a little bit restricted against Fremantle, but I'm sure that's more of a confidence thing now than a soreness thing. So I think Luke Brown will probably be the man that goes to him. He tends to be the more shut down small defender. I mean, he's gone on Wingard in the past, but I think Wingard is more likely to be squaring off against Laird. I mean, both of them are now one's a sort of a half back that pushes up into the midfield, and the other's a half forward that sort of pushes up into the midfield. So I think they're a natural matchup for each other. And then Aaron Young probably has a job to do on someone like Brody Smith. So sort of the classic, the old Angus Mumfries role from a few years ago. Youngie seems to take the cake on those. But it's certainly, I feel like it's an area where we've been able to punish them in the past. And I think if we're able to get a decent amount of inside 50s, then those guys just go to work as a matter of course.
Yeah, definitely. And Laird's an important player for them. He's someone we really got to try and give him a responsibility so we can put him off his game by, you know, having doubts in his head about what he's doing, and rather than him getting off the leash and creating those opportunities off the half-back line, give him a role, you know, make him play against one of our forwards and to really sort of shake him up a bit. But between him and Smith and Gray and Wingard, you know, we're really going to have to try and play a defence. One of those boys are going to have to play, whether it's Youngie, play a defensive forward role and try and negate him. Because I think with Jacobs and Betts, he's probably one of their most dangerous players. So, yes, we've got a potent forward line. We've got a lot of X factor about our forward line. And with Robbie playing 80% inside 50, there's going to be a real headache for them to worry about. And Youngie and Wingard are in fantastic form. It's really clicking at the moment. And our small forwards are winning us games of footy and producing week in, week out.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the cliched area of where the match is truly won, and I probably probably will suffice to say be the same again this week in the midfield. So we touched on the ruck contest earlier. Ryder has come back into AFL football, really not even missing a beat. He's he had a pretty strong performance against Sydney and matched that up against Sanderlands and really I think did about as well as anyone possibly could against the big man, particularly in the centre square. He was phenomenal. Where he got a chance to run and jump against Sanderlands, he really did dominate and set a lot of our play up. He plays against, obviously, Sam Jacobs, who's coming off the back of one of his better games, certainly clunking the ball around the ground and setting up the Crows play in the ruck. But I think it's a pretty similar task for Ryder. Jacobs is a tall ruckman, tap ruckman, so he really just goes up against it again.
Yeah, for sure. And Ryder is the type of ruckman, you know, when the ball's in the sweet spot, he's going to get a lot of hit outs to advantage. But the ruck contests that he doesn't win, a lot of them are a neutral type of contest where the ball hit the ground. But he doesn't win a heap of hit outs. The ones he does win are really, really high valued type of hit outs that we really get a lot of run off, but the ones he doesn't are not so bad. So we just got to really take advantage of the hit outs to advantage, and then the ones that Jacobs wins, we've really just got to lock it in or try and win that contest, contested footy. But Wright has been in fantastic form, and I really hope he can step up this week and lead the ruck brigade against Sam Jacobs. But Jacobs in ripping form. He's taking contested marks. He's floating up forward as well and kicking goals. So that's the sort of play we really got to worry about. And hopefully we can swing some moves and negate him up forward. But Ryder in the ruck, really got to break even or hopefully get on top.
Yeah, I think it's a break even at worst scenario for Ryder. I really rate him in the form that he's in. I think he's going to be able to jump all over Jacobs in the centre square, similar to last week, and it's just going to be about the around the ground work. Mm. I think where we can really put the foot down is when Jacobs does need to go somewhere for a rest. And as we spoke about, the Crows not really having that clear second option, it presents us with an opportunity both to give Ryder a bit of rest so he's fresher towards the end of the game against Jacobs. Yep. By bringing Trengove, because Trengove can do a job against Jacobs. Mm. I'm pretty sure they rucked against each other in that. Riley O'Brien played in that game late in this last season, I think.
What about the game when we won with the Angus Montfries wronging? That was when Trengove was jumping all over him in the last quarter, I'm pretty sure.
Good memory, James. So, look, there's runs on the board there that Trengove can at least go in there and I reckon halve the contest and provide that sort of extra body around when the ball hits the deck. So there's some options there for us, particularly with just a little bit of a weakness in the Crows' armour with Jenkins out and not an obvious second ruckman. So moving on, I mean, in terms of the actual midfielders, I mean, it feels to me that the midfields have almost swapped. And what I mean by that is in previous years, going back, right back into the 2013 era, Port used to always have to be, was seemingly always cut up by Dangerfield and Thompson, inside, big bodies, monstering us. And we were doing the outside run and just trying to deal with that. You'd have Danger pushing off people. You'd have Thompson just flicking out hand passes everywhere. I feel that the nature of the teams has almost flipped. Now with Wines, Ebert and Power Pepper, we've got some serious size in that inside midfield. Grunt just busting out. You got Wines, who's almost the Thompson, feeding it out by hand. You got Power Pepper, who's doing Dangerfield-esque things at the moment. I don't think he's anywhere near the player that Dangerfield is, but some of his movement away from stoppage is exactly what you saw. So I think it's interesting the way that the two sides have almost flipped. I think the Crows now are very much a don't worry too much about the inside stuff. They don't really have any. I guess Matt Crouch playing his 50th game this week would be the biggest inside midfield type, but there's not as many as you worry about. They do it more through a spread of numbers through there, and just a weight of numbers as well. So I think it's going to be a really interesting contest. It's certainly where we've been setting up our games in that contested possession dominance.
Yeah, definitely. And we backed ourselves in against the Frio midfield. We knew they had talent on the outside. We knew they had a couple of big body experienced midfielders. And we matched them early. The Power Pepper, Brad Ebert, Ollie Wines, you know, that combination is really what the future looks like for the AFL. You know, big body mids, hard at it, with a bit of pace on the outside, with strength on the inside. It's a formidable first up, you know, type of matchup. And, you know, we look at their midfield, that was their weakness. Everyone was talking about their depth in midfield, and to have the old Cam Ellis-Yolman go down was a bit of a blow for them. But Hampton sort of stepped up into a role. He's tackling well. Matt Crouch, he's a player that really got off the leash against us last time with 33 disposals and, 6 tackles, 5 clearances in Showdown 41. He won best on ground. So he had a bit more help last game. So they're really looking for him to step up. But I feel like a Power Pepper can match up against either him or Hampton. Brad Ebert, you know, he's in ripping form, and we all know what Ollie Wines has produced so far this year. So there's a lot of headaches for the Crows coaching staff to worry about, and I feel like we've got the advantage. We should really boss their midfield this week. We should really be pushing them around and really getting a lot of run from the inside.
And can I just say that if Rory Atkins gets free on the eastern wing, we are not doing our jobs. One thing that will be fascinating to watch is the way that other teams have seemingly been incapable of shutting the Crows' run down and really sort of locking it down, and they just let the numbers seemingly run free. And one of the features of our early season form has been our team defense and the way, particularly against Fremantle, that we were able to just continue to put pressure on the ball carrier, that if the ball hand pass went over the top, we'd have another player right on the receiver, right under pressure, and we really clamped down on it like that. The Crows are trained to play what do they say? Play what's in front of you. They flick it around and they run with numbers, and so it's going to be a real contest of those two styles. Our team defense are really pushing up and pushing up hard and putting the pressure on, compared to the Crows, flick it around, run with numbers style. So it's going to be a fascinating midfield contest.
Yeah, definitely. As far as big body goes, I think we've got them covered. You know, then you bring in the wingers like Polak and Amon and players like that. We've got enough class and enough skill on the outside as well when we flick it around ourselves, which we've been pretty good at. So it's an interesting matchup, but I give us the advantage looking at it on paper.
Yeah, I think the thing is that plenty of people have looked at this Crows team over the last 18 months on paper and thought, oh, we got these guys. But they've been relatively successful, and they haven't really seemingly been able to stop until they hit the finals. So I think there's going to be a real challenge there. But if we were ever going to be going into a game confident is the right word to use here, that we can match it with that and stand up to it, then this would be the one. All right, it's time to finish up this evening and get you guys off to the game. So we finish with our typical 6-pointers. So James, whilst we don't keep score, I did receive a text message from you over the weekend proclaiming that you had nailed 6 from 6. So good job, you. So I'll let you kick things off in that case with our leading goal kicker.
I reckon we'll go Chad Wingard.
Yeah, good choice. Good choice. I am going to go with Charlie Dixon.
Fingers crossed.
Indeed. Leading disposal winner. You just fire off first time all the time, James.
Well,
gentlemen.
we'll go with a bit of a showdown specialist with a Travis Boak.
Yeah, starting to sharpen things up on the outside, looking very nice, Travis. I'm going to go with Brad Ebert.
Yes, he's been in great form.
Now, yeah, he has. The over-under. So I've got to choose this time. The over-under this week is a fellow that that plucked the old pigskin 11 times last week out of the air. Dan Houston took 11 marks. He's an intercept man, but he also gets quite a few just on the link, being a link man through defence. So I've got his over-under set at 9.5 marks this week.
Alrighty. What do you have? I'll go under.
I'll take the over. I'll take the over comfortably. I like the way Dan goes about it.
What's his over-under on handballs?
0.5.
Yeah.
does not like to use his hands for disposing. Much prefers to kick. What a bloody ripping story he's got. Just rolls in as a pretty one dimensional lead up and kick the ball forward and just turns into a really promising medium sized defender. Sort of half back, just incredible.
But, absolutely, he's kept his spot, and that's exactly what we wanted to see when he was first picked against Sydney.
Yeah, no nonsense. The crowd should be relatively academic this week because I reckon tickets are like hen's teeth. For the first time in a while, I've had people at work seeing if I've got available tickets. So, Jimmy, the crowd, what you thinking?
51,000.
Yeah, I reckon I was going to check what the capacity crowd is, but whatever it is, it's going to be pretty close. Saturday night, love the night games at Adelaide Oval. The atmosphere will be absolutely rocking. We'll have plenty of people dressed up as freak tingles around us to spur things on. It's going to be a ripper. So
you over under 51.
I think it's going to be over whatever you said. I reckon it's going to be really close to a sellout.
Nice.
And finally, the only thing that really matters, everything that we've said said previously, I feel like I know where you're leaning, James. I feel like I know where you're always leaning. You're a man who, if you cut him open, would bleed a mix of black, white and teal. What are you tipping?
Yep. Well, you hit the nail on the head, and I will be tipping Port Adelaide established 1870 by 21 points.
21 points. I am feeling relatively confident. I am also going to pick Port Adelaide. I think we could not be in a better spot to play the Crows, and so I'm going to pick us to win by 15 points.
Yes.
Well, that just about wraps us up. Thanks to everyone who has listened along. Please make sure you go off and do the right thing and leave some reviews wherever you find this podcast, particularly on iTunes. It helps the Port fan community spread its wings and continue to grow. It's great to have so many shows on the network. It really is a really unique thing, I think. And, fantastic that we can all be involved. So enjoy the footy on Saturday night, everyone. Stay safe. Do the right thing. And we will see you back here next week. Jim?
Thanks, mate. Done well. We got through.
We did without our leader. We muddled through, but we look forward to welcoming him back into the fold next week.
For sure. Let's get the band back.
Count the power.
Go the Ports.